51 to the hold. The trip only took a few minutes, although to Maul's mind it seemed to go on much longer. He stood beside Vesto Slipher in the turbo lift, both of them staring straight ahead, neither one speaking. Too many things had happened too close together, and Maul needed time to process them all. The revelation of Zero's actual identity had clearly been a surprise to everyone, including Radik himself. Yet in a way it made perfect sense. As Inmate Zero, Dakarai had been able to help the arms dealer coordinate the arriving weapon shipments while monitoring the inmate populace and programming Coghive 7's matching algorithm. Keeping secrets from Radik and his sister must have felt like the perfect double life. His mistake had been thinking he could mislead everyone indefinitely. And Radik himself. Maul couldn't stop thinking about that voice, its unfathomable strength and power. His thoughts flashed back to the way that, when it spoke, every one of the blind prisoners, rows of convicts who'd willingly given their eyes to serve him here, had turned their faces upward toward it, as if toward deliverance itself. It made him wonder if this man really was a man at all, or something else altogether. The turbo lift continued its steady ascent.
"What's in the cargo bay?"
Maul asked finally. Slipher kept his eyes straight ahead.
"Mr. Radik is having a new geological compressor delivered with today's shipment."
His voice still sounded unsteady.
"I've arranged to have it received via binary lifter and held for me there." So he knew there was something wrong with his lightsabers.
I'm assuming he did. He seems to know everything else.
Well, the moon considered. Almost everything. How long have you worked for Radik?
Worked for him?
Slipher gave a dry chuckle. It came out eerie and humorless, like the nervous tick of a condemned man.
Technically, I still don't. I came to Coghive 7 as an employee of the IBC. And I'm here representing other interests as well.
He tugged at his collar and swallowed audibly.
You might say that I was unexpectedly recruited by Mr. Radik during my tenure here. My understanding is that's how it works.
How what works?
His whole empire. One often finds oneself serving his purposes without realizing it.
Maul grunted. The interior lights of the turbo lift flickered off for a span of several seconds, and the faint illumination of the object in Slipher's hand, the thing he'd called the Blue Witch, emanated up over their faces in an eerie blue glow. Maul peered at it incuriously. According to the banker, the device masked them from all electronic surveillance inside Coghive 7. They'd been using it in Radik's weapon shop, though for how long he didn't know. Certainly such a device would come in handy in a place where all the walls had surveillance cameras mounted within them.
We both find ourselves in the same regrettable situation, the moon said. We are dutiful servants dispatched into this floating landfill, forbidden to leave until we provide our masters with the information they seek.
He gave a melancholy sigh.
I might as well be wearing an inmate number myself.
You know nothing of my mission.
Slipher gave him a glance, cocking an eyebrow.
I know you're here on behalf of the Bandor Gora, he said, in an effort to procure some unthinkably destructive weapon and put it in their hands.
He cast Maul a sidelong glance.
Does that summarize it properly?
Maul said nothing.
For a moment, he entertained the notion of simply killing this self-pitying plutocrat right here in the lift,
snatching the Blue Witch and finding the loadlifter droid himself. What could Slipher's presence here possibly bring to their arrangement now, except the ever-present possibility of betrayal? "Money stands at the nexus of all things," the moon said. "Those who moderate its ebb and flow inevitably find themselves at the confluence of the galaxy's deepest secrets. Even the most confidential information arrives almost as an afterthought." "Do you ever stop talking?" Slipher sniffed, seeming only moderately offended. "I was merely explaining how I ended up in this position." Maul kept his arms at his sides, but his fists were already clenched. Visions of leaving Slipher here in the turbo lift with a broken neck were growing steadily more vivid in his mind. "Your position here is hopeless, you know," Slipher told him. "Even if you were successful in bringing them here, Radik will never do business with the Bandogora."
"We'll see," Maul said.
"And of course you know that Komari Vozai is in charge of the Gora now." He tilted his chin slightly, raising the witch in his hand. "You are familiar with Vozai's background, are you not?"
"More underworld scum. The galaxy's thick with it."
"Not quite. Vozai is the high priestess of the cult. I'm told that she maintains a fortified citadel in Kolmar and uses narcotics and advanced mind control to manipulate an entire army of operatives and assassins to do her bidding." And then, almost as an afterthought, "And of course, she's still extremely lethal with a lightsaber." Maul shot the moon a look of thinly veiled shock.
"What?"
"Oh, yes, she's a former Jedi," Slipher said casually. "Surely, given your background, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know." At first, Maul said nothing. At his sides, his hands had already balled into fists, squeezing tightly until they began to tremble.
"What else do you know about her?"
"Who? Voza?" The moon feigned innocence. "Oh, very little, I'm afraid. Her nearly psychopathic levels of aggression apparently prevented her from becoming a true Jedi Knight.
Nonetheless, she joined a Jedi task force to stop the Bandogora's activities on Baltazar." His expression darkened. "Unfortunately, the mission proved a catastrophe. The cult abducted Voza and dragged her off to the burial moon of Kolmar."
"What happened next?"
The moon shuddered theatrically.
"Well, by all accounts, they tortured her to the very brink of madness. The point where she embraced the dark side of the Force, slaughtered those who had kidnapped her, and became the true leader of the Bandogora."
Slipher glanced back at Maul. "She started out as a Jedi, however."
"Is that significant?"
Maul said nothing. At last, the lift came to a halt.
"If they're waiting to take us," Maul thought, "this is where it will happen."
But as the doors slid open on Coghive 7's hangar bay, there were no guards waiting there to take him into custody, no armed corrections officers lying in ambush. The only activity in the bay came from a small detail of tactical landing technicians who were too busy wrestling with a pile of pallets and skids on the opposite side to take much notice of them.
"Relax," Slipher said. "The landing techs aren't armed, and they don't carry drop boxes, so they can't trigger the charges in your heart."
"I wasn't concerned."
Maul stepped out into the bay. The space was huge, erratically strewn with packing debris and empty shipping crates waiting to be returned on the next flight out. Across the open space, he saw the binary loadlifter that Slipher had spoken of, although the immediate mission seemed far from his thoughts.
She's a former Jedi.
Had it not occurred to his master to tell him of this? Or had its withholding been part of the larger challenge that he'd come here to face? The realization that his mission on Coghive 7 would culminate in confrontation with a Jedi, albeit one whose powers had been corrupted into a life of organized crime and cult-based lunacy, plunged a dagger of bitterness deep into Maul's brain. It would not be Vesto Slipher that Komari Voza would be facing when she and the Bando Gora arrived here, Maul decided. Certainly, his own master intended for Maul himself to dispatch the Jedi scum personally. Was that the true test? Still seething, he slipped quickly across the hangar bay, moving through the shadows, leaving the moon behind.
What are you doing?
Slipher hissed as he hurried to keep pace.
You need to stay with me.
It's been too long since I've killed something,
Maul said.
Be careful, or it might be you.
Don't be a fool. Our mission here requires both stealth and my active participation, and you know it.
Maul silenced him with a glare. But not just a glare. For the slightest of moments, he allowed himself to reach out with the Force. The moon faltered in his steps, mouth opening just wide enough to emit a glottal clicking cough. Taken aback by the invisible vice grip of pressure taking hold around his neck and chest, choking as he labored to draw breath. Maul found the sharp expression of shock and fear on the banker's face only mildly gratifying, given these extenuating circumstances. He kept Slipher there for a split second, prolonging the sight of the moon's eyes bulging in their sockets. Then, leaning forward, he spoke in a whisper.
Komari Voza,
he said quietly,
is not the only one with the skills you mentioned. You would do well to remember that.
What?
Slipher's face tightened in an ecstasy of disbelief.
You!
Maul squeezed harder. Perhaps it was the explicit mention of the Jedi, or simply his own inability to hold back any longer. But suddenly, all he wanted was to snap the neck of this insect and finish what he'd started. Only then did he realize the sheer magnitude of his transgression, a betrayal of his purpose here, the one thing that he'd sworn not to do. Releasing Slipher, pushing him away, he pivoted and approached the larger of the binary loadlifters, stepping around behind the droid to avoid being seen by the hangar's crew members, then cast a glance back at the moon.
Is this the one?
Yes.
Slipher reached up and touched his throat, still badly shaken. He kept his distance, eyeing Maul as one might regard a vicious animal whose true nature had suddenly become abundantly evident.
I have to give my authorization first.
Then do it. We've wasted enough time.
Slipher turned to face the droid's photoreceptors, looking deeply grateful to have something else upon which to focus his attention.
IBC Yellow Card Security Variant 377055,
he said. Voice verify consultant Vesto Slipher.
Verifying.
The droid echoed back, joints creaking with a series of soft hydraulic noises as it straightened up.
Command prompt.
Access analytical upgrade subroutine 1188. I'm here to pick up a package.
Accessing.
Another muffled hissing noise.
Input data format.
The CLL unit muttered something in binary that came out sounding like a series of mismatched tones, ending with a defeated electronic gurgle. Bennett's photoreceptors went dim, and it dropped both of its flat, spatulate arms to the floor with a sharp metallic clang that rang out through the hangar like blaster fire.
You!
On the far side of the hangar, Maul saw the crew of cargo technicians turning from the empty stack of packaging cartons to stare across the open space at them.
Identify yourselves!
What are you doing down here?
Don't come any closer, Slipher called back. He's going to kill me.
The crew members froze and drew back. Glancing quickly at Maul, the Moon threw his hands into the air.
My name is Vesto Slipher. I'm a field support analyst for the IBC.
He cast a fearful glance at Maul.
This prisoner, inmate 11240, abducted me from my quarters and brought me down here as a hostage. He's trying to escape on the freight barge when it arrives. Alert the warden!
Then, casting his eyes at Maul once more, the banker couldn't seem to repress a small smile.
I suppose you ought to have killed me when you had a chance.
Who says it's too late now?
Maul asked.
Tell me how to fix the lightsabers.
Slipher murmured.
And I'll do whatever I can with Warden Blur to see that you walk away from all of this. Otherwise, there is nothing that I can do to guarantee your safety.
Maul felt the space around him closing up like a trap.
Where's the geological compressor?
It must have not arrived yet.
Raising his voice again, Slipher called out to the men across the bay.
You man, stop wasting time! Hurry! Before he...
Shut up!
Reaching outward, Maul snatched the blue witch from the moon's grasp, then turned to the gathered crew members who were staring at him from across the bay. Slipher's moronic outburst hadn't left much to work with, but it was enough.
Don't come any closer, Maul said. Stay right where you are.
Inmate 11240, one of them shouted back. What's that in your hand?
It's a plasma detonator.
Maul held up the blue witch just high enough that they could see it, raising his voice to be heard across the hangar.
High-grade industrial munitions.
Doesn't look like any detonator I've ever seen.
Take another step and you'll see all you need of it,
Maul said.
Who wants to be first?
Don't be a fool,
Slipher murmured.
You can't.
Maul shoved him away in the direction of the other men.
You've done enough.
You're cutting me loose?
The Moon reared back, incredulous.
That's insane. They'll kill you in seconds.
I'll take my chances.
Jamming the blue witch in his pocket, where its glow could be seen through the fabric of the uniform, Maul turned back to the load lifter that stood behind them. Taking hold of the thing's manipulator arm, he swung himself upward onto its main control console.
Inmate 11240, what are you doing?
Maul ignored them, focusing his attention on the load lifter. The thing's processor cowling was a single metal plate, and he pried it open, popped the bolts, and yanked it off to expose its central processor. Thanks to Trezza's instruction back on Orsis, he'd had some experience slicing into the basic motivator drives of labor droids. They all were built relatively the same.
Inmate 11240!
Stay back.
Working instinctively, he found the thing's upgraded cognitive drive and isolated the wiring that he needed to reprogram it manually. It wouldn't cause the load lifter to do anything more than malfunction, but right now, a malfunction was all he needed. The droid lurched forward, jerking its right leg up, manipulator arms raised above its head. The load lifter's great gyro-stabilized joints slammed past Slipher as it stormed headlong across the open landing deck, instantly colliding with a stack of shipping cartons. Crates fell. Pallets crashed. Maul had already jumped back down, landing on the floor in a tuck and roll as one of the load lifter's enormous flat manipulators swung in a huge arc, upending a 10-meter-high stack of pallets and skids in front of it. The empty skids tumbled, crashed, and splintered in every direction. Then it pivoted and started off in the direction of the loading crew. The men scattered, most of them heading for cover, while the deck supervisor ran for the communications center overlooking the cargo hold. Across the hold, blue strobes began swirling on both sides, splashing the walls with light, as the load lifter pivoted and began scooping up what it had knocked over, only to dump the pallets on the opposite side of where it stood.
fool.
Slipher's voice sneered behind him, and Maul glanced back over his shoulder to see that the moon had already gotten to his feet.
Did you actually believe you could abandon me here?
He thrust out his hand.
Give me back the Blue Witch.
Maul said nothing, but it didn't matter. The banker was talking again, caught up in his own outrage and oblivious to the load lifter advancing behind him.
My intellect is vastly superior to yours in every imaginable capacity.
Slipher sneered.
Even if there was any chance that you could...
Those were his last words. All at once, from less than a meter behind him, the load lifter's flat manipulator arm came arcing upward. It caught Slipher at neck level at a perfect 45-degree angle, severing his head neatly in one easy slice and sending it spiraling through the air. The entire action was almost silent. For a split second, his decapitated body seemed to hang there on its own, and then it crumpled to the floor of the hangar bay as the load lifter's right foot came down on top of the body, crushing it beneath the full tonnage of its weight. It was an unceremonious death for Vesto Slipher, arguably one of IBC's brightest young minds, dispatched without fanfare by a machine as brainless as he was brilliant. And in the end, no one in the known galaxy seemed particularly to notice. Maul, for his part, didn't even bother looking back. Through the chaos on the far side of the bay, he saw the lift that he and Slipher had come from. He could make it from where he was in less than 5 seconds as long as none of the loading crew had blasters, which he doubted. He ran.